welcome to another episode of Thor's Daily. I'm Dave, and today we're going to have the continuation of my chat with Matt and Rich from Gilball. We're basically talking a bit about the models and how their production pipeline, and we're going to start out by talking a little bit about the game itself. So, without further ado, here we go. Okay, should we actually talk a little bit about the game now then?
Why not?
Yeah, a good thing to start.
I mean, I have to say, from right very early on in the Kickstarter, you had a set of rules available for people to go and download and have a look at.
Yeah, why not?
And I know, I mean, certainly one of my friends played quite a lot of games during the Kickstarter, and just out in the period afterwards. Yeah, the Fisherman played off against the Butchers.
Yeah, and what did you
probably
think?
On a week-for-week basis for a good couple of months.
And did you enjoy the game?
Oh, we had a blast. It's really, really good. Every time you play, you found something, some new little trick or some new little way to use the abilities.
Yeah.
And obviously we were seeing things change as issues, I'll use the word issues in the Microsoft sense, sort of, were brought up, which was also good.
Mm. They're not issues, they're just future features.
That is a complete and utter computer games line that Matt's just using there.
Yeah, save for the sequel. No, I mean, do you know what, right? It's my kind of moment of false modesty is I love playing Gilball, right? And it gives me so much joy to be able to say that truthfully. Mm. And there's no marketing spiel, there's no spin on that. This isn't Matt the Blagger or anything like that. It's literally, I fundamentally, every time I play Gilball, I love playing it. I just so intensely proud of the game that we've kind of put together. And it's a game that I choose to play, even when, you know, I've played hundreds of games now. I like to think that I'm the best Gilball player in the world at the moment.
Now, that's a challenge for people.
But I fully recognise that within about 5 minutes of it being released, I'm going to be probably one of the weakest Gilball players in the world. So I'm enjoying my moments. It's a great game, and what's really fascinating, again, going back to the community, we've got a very active cadre of very intelligent people who are providing a huge amount of analysis and thought into the actual game, and what that enables us to do, by sharing it early, by getting it out to people early, and then being open and receptive, and actually willing to make mistakes. You know, we'll put stuff out, and it won't be right, but people will pick up on it, they'll point out. There's a dude on our forums, right? I don't know if he's some kind of maths major or something like that, but seriously, he wrote this enormous, mathematical analysis of one of the core mechanics. And I kind of had to say, look, I'm just going to trust you, Matt. Can you tell me what, like, the exact summary is? Because I don't get it. And he went, yeah, basically the kickoff's not right. And I'm like, okay, good, now I can work with that.
is that in the new rules? Because we should say that you've just released, or you are releasing some an update to what we've been playtesting up to now.
Yeah, so pre-season 1.1 is out, and pre-season 1.2 is going to come out this weekend. And that is going to be 95% of the final game experience, and so we are getting very close to the core engine being locked in and as robust as it has been to date. We've made some real quality of life changes to a couple of the core gameplay elements to kind of encourage the kind of play style that creates a good game experience for both players. Now, one of the core design principles that we have for the game is one of counterplay. Now, if you've ever heard me talking about Gilball, I will constantly talk about counterplay. What I mean by that is where if I do something and you can't respond, that's not interesting, okay? Because even if I do something and I face stomp you, deep down, unless you're a complete douchebag, I'm going to not really enjoy that. You know, it's a bit like in War Machine where you pull a trick assassination out, or in Manifold you kind of go da-da and pull something out. Less so in Malifaux because of the asynchronous, kind of activations. But
yes.
So what we want to do is create, you know, these gameplay moments where I will do something and then my opponent will have a chance to respond to that or try and counter that, and his counter is therefore a play that I can counter, and that's how you end up with this wonderful kind of momentum through the, and that's with a small m, bits back and forth across the table. And what we discovered was that there was a couple of strategies that I still fundamentally don't feel that they were as negative or as strong as people felt they were initially, but we've actually polished the game and created much more of a focus on this being a sports game, less of a melee skirmish game with a ball. And so you do end up really feeling like you're playing a game that's different from any other game on the market. Closest, obviously, being Blood Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I found once you were playing with it and you played like half a turn, you had the core mechanic down, the way your dice works, the pooling and the hit numbers and stuff, and it was pretty slick and quick and easy to learn. And as you said, games would start off quite tactical and quite cagey, but once the first goal's scored by either side, the game really does open up and just gets really, really fast and manic, I find.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I mean, and at a high level of play, the key is perhaps letting that first goal go, but you've kind of set yourself up, you're controlling the right positioning on the board for you to then dominate in the mid-game. Yeah. It's got some wonderfully complex kind of depths to it.
It's coming from, like, because obviously coming from my background with the War Machine play and that, it is definitely, you have to think on a little higher level of strategy because of the asynchronous, because of the constant flow of the game. You are thinking not just, that turn ahead. You're not relying on what the opponent's doing his turn and working out what you're going to do. It's kind of looking what he's doing, working out what you're going to do, and then how that's going to affect several turns in the future. And that kind of level of thought is quite difficult. It's up there with the kind of chess thought of how it works.
Yeah, I have to say, because we started out, my mate playing, I was playing the Butchers and he was playing the Fishermen. And about halfway through, we probably switched round.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, we were both, because obviously I was seeing what he was doing to me and how I would play it differently. And all of a sudden, we both of us sort of said, "Oh, I never really saw that,"
yeah.
Or "I never really thought of doing it that way." It was very interesting.
Like Matt said, it is such a good game to play, and it's kind of our guilty pleasure. When I've got 4 weeks of hardcore playtesting coming up, that's not a bad thing. It's really not a bad thing, and I can't wait for every second of doing that.
And speaking of playtesting, you guys have actually put something out there to make it easier for the guys, those guys out in the world, to actually get out and playtest, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been working with a couple of guys from our community who sort of stepped up and said, "Do you know what? We're going to build you a vassal module." And we're like, "Do you know what? You completely own that. You knock yourselves out." And they've taken the bit between their teeth and they've put together, again, I feel like such a blagger. It's one of the best modules that's out there right now. And these guys did it for us because they love the game. They love what we're trying to do and they just want to help, build something together. So then that's a classic example of this game world, this product, this game, whatever you want to describe it as, is now being owned by people more than just Rich and I. It's other people are really buying into it and growing it and evolving it. It's effectively an open source game. And I think when we spoke with Mike, 5-6 months ago, talked very much about it being free to play. It's this open source kind of vibe to it that take it, make it your own. There's a guy on Twitter who's scratch building a whole bunch of fisherman team. I can't remember what they're called. But he's basically, making them from other models. But they look amazing, really good. Mm. So it's like, fair play to you. Because if he's playing it and people are seeing his models in there and people are enjoying the game, that's great, right? And then if if he ends up buying some of our minis, even better. If not, no problem. People he plays might buy our minis. It just gets the game out there.
That's the thing, it's getting the game out there and getting people playing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we are sort of running slightly long, but that's fine. What are you, I guess one of the other things that people, we talk about Kickstarter projects and things, is communication. What are you guys doing to keep everyone informed about what's going on and where you are, where you're at?
We have, every week or every 2 weeks, we have a live stream on Tuesdays. So we'll do either a live sculpting session or a Vassal game or just a catch up with me and Matt and going over kind of where we're at and what the production, where we're at with everything. So we can do that on Tuesdays. Throughout the week, we'll put the updates up throughout the Kickstarter, plus the Facebook and Google Plus and Twitter, etc. So we just show stages. Like this week, for instance, we've shown some of the painted brisket that Matt's been doing, some of the painted boiler Mega did.
Megazord, man, yeah.
Megazord, so we've been painting that out. And just keeping kind of, you know, it's a little slow pace than we did on the Kickstarter, obviously, because not the intense 30, you know, 30-day period that we had.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, we're keeping it updated. We've got the forum as well at guildball.com. You've got the forums there. That's constantly, you know, it's buzzing at the moment. And it'll be over the next 4 weeks and going into September, it's going to be even more buzzing with the field test and the feedback we get from that and how we deal with that. So I think, yeah, it's just constant kind of overall several different platforms, but constant immersion and trying to
keep
it going.
Yeah, so I've watched a few of the Twitch TVs when Russ has been sculpting.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating stuff.
It is absolutely fascinating. Like, me and Matt sit there sometimes and just kind of looking at what he's doing. It's scary how good he is, you know. And he just makes it so simple, so easy, and yeah, they're really nice to watch. I don't think anyone else has done anything similar. So it's quite a...
And basically, if people have missed them, they can go back to
YouTube. Yeah, they go to YouTube. They're all on there now, so go on YouTube. I think there's three of them up on YouTube now. We worked out to record the things, so there's three up there. The latest one being the Brewers, actually sculpting of some of the Brewers and seeing them. And there's some little spoilers in there. We always kind of put a little tease in there. Matt was very teasy the other day with the Mortician's... additional characters, should we say. So,
yeah, he was, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Very, very teasy, because they are late in next year, like, you know, going into next year, so. But, yeah, so we do kind of treat people as worth watching them.
Oh, they're definitely worth watching, because, yeah, if I've had a whiskey, then there's no knowing what I might come out with.
It really isn't.
Okay, we're going to end up with all sorts of alarms and crashes and wallops in this one, I think, because we're already long. But I do have probably the one burning question that everyone wants to ask you guys. And that is, are you on time? Are you on schedule?
How very dare you? We are in the... we're one or two models away from the wonderful position of having more models done than we don't have done. So we have more models done than Arena Rex. We have more models delivered than Relic Knights.
EU.
We've delivered more models to,
gotta be fairish,
to the entire world. No, in all seriousness, we are tracking quite well. We had a couple of real production snafus that we had to overcome. It has, you know, eaten up a fair degree of our contingency, and one of our deepest regrets is that we had a whole bunch of space lined up for the UK Games Expo. The awesome guys over at GCT with Malifaux, and be aware that Bushido, know that those guys are doing a board game, kickstartering it, so keep your eyes out for that if it's not already live. That's definitely something to keep your eyes on. And they were going to let us come in on their stand, take a little bit of demo space, and unfortunately production issues reared their ugly head and we couldn't get the models in time, so we had to pull out of that one. So, you know, the project hasn't run 100% perfectly, but we are tracking very much towards that December goal.
I think,
hey, what project ever does.
I think the good thing about the production errors then was because we did the boiler as an early run, we kind of worked out this snafu with the 3D print and kind of fixed it. So we're kind of on target as far as that goes now. I think as well what we decided to do, we are actually getting the teams manufactured on a kind of team by team basis. So we've already sent off, for instance, the Brewers, the Butchers and the Fishermen to get 3D printed and printed up. So they'll be arriving over the next month or so into the store where we keep them. And that should help by the end some of the overhead, so we're not doing everything at the last minute. So we'll have a constant stream. Obviously, we won't be able to send them out as we get them, because that would be unfair.
Yeah.
But we'll keep them locked away, and absolutely locked away, so no one gets them early.
That's great. Yeah, we're working. I mean, this is one of the other cool things for me. You've known me for long enough to know that I do like my painting, and one of the coolest things has been building relationships with some phenomenal painters that I can make contact with all around the world. I've got pretty much one from every major country in Europe who are kindly right this moment looking and reviewing our models, not because we want social media exposure, not because we want positive spin out of it, but actually because we want these professional painters to tell us what can we do to make these models better?
Mm-hmm.
And so we sent out a bunch of samples to a bunch of these guys. They're looking at them. So far, the response has been incredibly positive. There's a couple of little tweaks and polishy bits that we can do to a couple of the models, but you know, that's our kind of commitment to the other side of, you know, the hobby side of this. It's not just a great game, but the models, you know, I just want to make these. My dream is to see these kind of winning. You know, one of a Guild Ball model that wins a Crystal Brush or Militaire or something would be just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
Well, I have to say, guys, I mean, your enthusiasm definitely shines through all this, and it's been great talking to you again. We have run super long, so we'll have to see what Mike does with this. But as ever, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys and getting an update of where you are with Guild Ball.
Oh, likewise. More than happy to kind of come back on in the future and tell you where we're at.
Yep.
Yeah, certainly we'll try and grab you again, obviously before nearer the time when the deadlines are approaching.
Sounds good.
Cool. All that leaves me to say is that I've been Dave.
I've been Matt.
I've been Rich.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh no, that's not the music, is it?
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.